Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Yud Zayin. We are three lines from the top of the Amud, and in the midst of a conversation between Chagai Hanavi and those Kohanim at the outset of the second Beis Hamikdash, when they returned from Golos Bavel, and he wanted to test them to see if they were familiar with the halachos of Tuma v'Tahara. So he posed a question to them. He said, what happens if the sheretz comes into contact with a lechem, and the lechem in turn touches nizid, a food dish, which touches yayin, and finally the yayin touches shemen? What is the halach of that shemen? Which is really a reveal of Tuma. So they told him, no, it's tar. And Rav says, well, actually, they were incorrect in their response, because we know that when it comes to kachim, a revi is tummy. And since the sheretz is avatuma, and that came into contact with lechem becomes a rishon. When the lechem touches the nezid, that becomes a sheni. When the nezid touches the yayin is a shlishi. And finally, the yayin touches the shemen, it's a revi. So the response was incorrect. It says the Gemara three lines from the top, gufa. So we just learned, Rav Amar ishtavish kahani. The kahana made a mistake when they told him that the shemen is tahar, because it was a revi l'tumah. And a revi, when it comes to kachim, is tamei. Ushmul Omar, lo yishtabesh kehani. Actually, the kehani were correct. There was no mistake in their response. Rav Amar yishtabesh kehani. The kehani were mistaken. Revi b'kodesh bo minayu. Chagai asked them regarding the status of a revi by kodesh. V'omar le tar, and they responded, that's tar, which is incorrect. Ushmul Omar, lo yishtabesh kehani. The kehani did not make any mistake. Why? Chamishi b'kodesh. It wasn't a revi that he asked him. It was actually a chamishi, one step further down the line. And that's why they said it was tar. And that was a true and correct response. Because it only goes up until revi, not a step further. Okay, so according to Rav, I understand. That's what the pasuk says. Arba. The pasuk lists four stages. The sheret touched the lechem. V'nezid, v'yayin, v'shemen. So it went down the line. The tumah began at the sheretz, which was a av, transferred to the lechem, which became a rishon, to the nezid, which became a sheni. The nezid touched the yayin, became a shlishi. The yayin touched the shemen, should it be? So according to Rav, it makes sense. There were four steps in the sequence. Elo l'shmol chamisha menole. Where does Shmol find five steps in the sequence here? Miksiv v'noga kanfoy? Because does the pasuk say that kanfoy touched the lechem, which indicates that the sheretz touched the lechem? No. V'noga big kanfoy ksiv. What does that mean? B'mash noga b'kanfoy. The lechem didn't directly touch the sheretz. It touched something else, which touched the sheretz, which was b'kanfoy in the corner of his bag. So there was something in between. The sheretz came into contact with something else, some unknown object, which that object touched the lechem, which is now a sheni, because the sheretz touched that object, making that a rishon. That rishon touched the lechem, making it a sheni. The lechem turned around and touched the nezid, turned that into a shlishi. The nezid touched the yayin, making that a revi. And now the yayin, when it touched the shemen, it attempted to make a chamishi, and they responded, no way, that's too far. There's no such thing as chamishi, even when it comes to kachim. So their response was true and correct. Okay, so according to Rav, there was a mistake, because he maintains that the shemen, the last item on that list, was merely a revi, and a revi is meant to be tameh. So their response was incorrect. Whereas Shmuel maintains that there was something in between, another step in between, and the shemen was merely a fifth stage, and therefore they correctly responded to Chagai that it was tar. Toshma, come and listen to a raya to figure out what exactly happened. So in the following pasuk, first he posed that first scenario, and they responded, no, it's tar. The next pasuk describes another question he posed for them. Vayomer Chagai, imiga tumei nefesh b'cholela. What happens if instead of a sheretz being the cause of the tumah, we have a tumei nefesh? We assume it means a person who's an avatumah who touched a mace. So the mace is avi avois, the grandfather, and a person who touches him becomes the avatumah. So what happens, Chagai asked them, what happens if the Tmei Nefesh will touch B'cholela, all these things in the same sequence. So he's an avatuma. He touched the lechem, making that into rishon. The lechem touched the nazid, making that into sheni, which touched the yain, turns into a shlishi, which touched the shemen, becomes a revi. What happens? Hayitma, does it become tamei? Vayano kahanim, vayoyimru yitma. Kahanim responded, certainly, it's tamei. So it appears I was speaking again about all the way to reveal a tumah, and this time they knew. They responded correctly. So Bishlam is Shmuel. So according to Shmuel, it works out because just as in the most recent scenario, they responded correctly. They didn't have any mistakes here because they knew that a Revi is Tameh. Hasam Nami Lo Yishtabish. Likewise in the first case. Let's assume they weren't mistaken. And how do we explain the discrepancy? Why is it that over here they said Tameh and the earlier case Torah? Very simple. Because here we're speaking about only up to Revi Latum. Whereas in the first case, there was something in between. And the Shemen, the final item on that list, was merely a Chamisha. Therefore they said it's Torah. So they were correct on both accounts. They were knowledgeable, these Kohanim. It makes sense. Just as they knew this halacha, they knew that halacha. Elo l'Rav. But according to Rav, it seems to be inconsistent here. Maish nahocha d'ishtabish. Why is that in the first case? When he posed the question about the reveal of Kodesh, they were mistaken. They didn't respond correctly. He said it's Torah, which was a mistake. Maish nahocha d'ishtabish. So why in the next case didn't they have the same mistake? How did they become educated between? One pasuk to the next. So in the first pasuk they said a revi l'tumah is tar, and now they're speaking about a revi being tumah. How could that be? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah. I'll tell you why. In both cases, we're discussing a revi. The difference is, the first case discussed a sheretz being the cause of the tumah, whereas in the second case, it was tumas meis, which instigated the tumah. That's the difference. Bekinhein, betumas meis. They were well versed and familiar when it comes to tumas meis. They knew that tumas meis has the power to go all the way to revi. And that's why they responded in the second pasuk. That is tumit. Ve'in bekinhein betumas sheretz. However, when it comes to tumah caused by a sheretz, they weren't really familiar with that. They weren't aware of the fact that it can stretch all the way to revi. And therefore, in the first case, which involves sheretz, they responded that the Revi is Tar. Ravina Amar, Hosum Revi, Hachashlishi. He said very simple. In the first case, it was a question regarding the Shemen, which was a Revi, and they weren't really familiar with that halacha. So they responded incorrectly. And the second pasuk was speaking about a Shlishi. That the mace itself, when the pasuk says, Emiga Tmei Nefesh, it means the Tomei Tumas nefesh, the mace itself, which davi avoyis hatum, instigated the tumah. So he touched the lechem, making that a av hatumah, right? One step further up, an av hatumah, not a rishon, an av. Now when that lechem touched the nizid became a rishon. Nizid touched the yayin, became a sheni. The yayin touched the shemen became a revi. That they knew. So that explains the discrepancy. Why in the first case they said Torah? Because it was a revi. In the second case, it was merely a shlishi, and that they knew. So at this point, we have three approaches to explain the discrepancy between two psukim. Why is it in the first pasuk the Kohanim responded that it's Torah, and the second that it's Tameh? So we have Rav, Shmuel, and Ravina. According to Rav, in both cases, we were speaking about a Revi. In the first case, they were mistaken. They thought that a Revi is Torah, Ishtabash Kehani. Why is it that in the first case they didn't know, in the second case they did? Because the first case involved a Tumas Sheretz. They didn't know that it can create a Revi. The second case involved Tumas Meis, and they knew full and well that it can go up into Revi. So that explains the difference. Shmuel's approach is that there was no mistake whatsoever. They were well versed with the halachas, very familiar with the intricacies of Tumah Vatara. They knew that a Revi is Tumah. That's why in the second case they said it's Tameh. The first case involved a Chamishi. That's why they responded at Star, and they were correct in their response. The third approach is Ravina. Then in the first case, it involved a Revi, and they responded incorrectly that it's Tar. Whereas in the second case, it was one step back, one step higher, it was a Shlishi, and that they knew. that it is tamei. Toshma, let's bring a raya to figure out what happened. So in the following pasuk, Vayan Chagai Vayomer, responded, Keno mazeh vechein agoy hazeh lefonei no mashem vegoymer. And the pasuk continues, Vechein chol masi yedeim asher yakrivu sham tameyu. So he said, well, everything, this nation is tamei, and everything they do is tamei. Bishlem l'rav. So according to Rav, we understand what happened. Hainu d'chsev tamei. You know why he spoke in these terms? Because he saw that they weren't familiar with the halachas, and since they're not knowledgeable, so we have to assume that everything they do is tamei. Because according to Rav, there was a mistake. They were unaware of the halachas. El l'shmo b'kon d'shmo, there was no mistake whatsoever. They were accurate in their response. They were well-educated regarding the halachas. Am I tamei? So why are they tamei? It's mui kama tamei. The pasuk is simply saying it as a question. Meaning, since we see that they're so well-versed and educated, why should they be tamei? Meaning it was actually in a positive context. They're not tamei because they're well-versed and educated in halachas, and everything they do is actually fine. But the pasuk continues that just as they are tamei, everything that they do is tamei. Doesn't seem like it's a question mark or in a positive context whatsoever. So why? Why did he relate to them as tamei, to them and their deeds? Amar Mazutra v'Teimar Rashi. So Mazutra, some say, well, Rashi explained that it actually was not in reference to the present. Rather, it was foretelling the future. Mitoich shekilkulus ma'aseim. Since in the future, during the days of the second Beis Hamikdash, they were going to pervert their ways, do averus, male aleim akosav. The Torah regarded them kilu ikrivi v'tuma, as though everything they were doing, their kabbonis, everything was involved tuma, due to their misdeeds. So certainly in the present moment they were full aware of the halachas, there was no concern, but the pasuk is simply describing what was going to happen in the future. Okay, continues the Gemara. Gufa, so let's go back to the original discussion regarding the liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. We learned that the Chacham suspended the tumah when it comes to those liquids. They are free of tumah, and we have two opinions regarding which liquids are we speaking about. Rav Tani ba mashke beis mitbachaya. He learned that the leniency regarding the liquids in the Beis HaMikdash was with respect to the mashke beis mitbachaya, liquids found in the beis hamitbachayim in the Azorah where they would rinse and cut up the karbonis. So the water and the dam that was found there was free of tumah. That's Rav Shita. For Levi Tana, Levi learned mashke beis mitbachaya, or the dalet. It's referring to the mizbeach. Any liquids designated for the mizbeach, whether it's the shemen for the menachos, the yain for the nesachim, the dam of the karbonis, the water for the nisach hamayim. So even the yain and shemen were included in this heter. The tumah was suspended from these things. So according to Rav, it only applies to specific liquids, the mayim and dam found in the Beis HaMitbachayim, as she explained earlier, because of hefset kachim, due to the prevalence of these liquids there, and there was a concern that it shouldn't spread tumah to the kachim there. Chacham suspended the halachas of tumah regarding those mashkin. Levi maintains, he has a different approach. He says that the suspension was applied to the liquids appropriated, designated for the mizbeach specifically, for the karbonis. Perhaps on account of the har status, Chachamim suspended the halachas of tumah v'tahara. Now, this is one discussion with regard to what type of liquids was the halacha said. Now, we had another discussion yesterday. To what extent was it said? Rav said, well, it's completely tar. These liquids can't transmit. They can't even accept tumah. They're completely tar. Whereas Shmuel said it's a limited allowance. They can't give over tumah to others, but they themselves can become tumah. So these two discussions, in light of our recent sugya regarding Chagai Hanavi, will be the topic of the next piece of the Gemara. These three aspects what? What was included in this allowance? And to what extent? And in light of the psukim we just had, these three different aspects will seem to blend together. Says the Gemara, okay, so according to Levi, the tahara was applied to even yayin v'shemen. If so, how do we understand the pasuk by Chagai Hanavi, which described the yayin v'shemen as being tamei? We had the second pasuk here, where the Kohanim responded that the yayin v'shemen are tamei. How's that possible? According to Levi, yayin v'shemen designated for the mizbeach is not meant to be tamei. Says more, little Levi, according to Levi Shita, ha nicha isvir like a Shmuel. Okay, if he was like Shmuel, it's going to work out. What does Shmuel say? He says that the tahara applied to these liquids was a limited form of tahara. The Omar Shmuel said, dochin, they are tar, mil tamid tumas achirim. From transmitting tumah to others. To that extent, they can't. They don't have that tumah. Avot tumas asmi yeshlan. However, their own tumah, the ability to receive tumah, certainly, even the Yayin Hashem and Samilish, can become tumah, because that's the Raisa, we discussed yesterday. So according to him, Meshkach Asla, we can work out, we can apply the Pasuk, which describes the Yayin Hashem as being tumah, to the Nagi Kula Barishon, that they all touch the original tumah. So the Yayin and the Shemen independently touch the source of tumah. It's not that the Yayin became Tumah and transmitted the Tumah to the Shem. That it can't do. It doesn't have the ability to do so in the Beis HaMikdash. So why did the Pasuk describe the Yayin and Shem as being Tumah? Because they independently touch the source of Tumah. And they themselves can receive Tumah. So according to Levi, it must be that the suspension of Tumah with regards to these Mashkin was a limited suspension. They can't be Matami others, but they themselves can be Tumah. So that explains the second pasuk of Chagai Hanavi, right? The second shiloh that he presented to them elicited a response of tumah from the Kohanim, because the sukkah has such a situation where the liquids themselves directly were makabel tumah from the source of tumah. However, regarding the first question that he posed, right, the first pasuk, which we had on Tezayin Amud Beis, with the sheretz touching the lechem, etc., you know why over there the Kohanim responded that it's tar? Very simple, because it was a sequence, it was a chain reaction. The sheretz touched the lechem, which in turn was matami the nazit, which in turn was matami the yayin, which in turn attempted to be matami the shemen, but it cannot do so. As we just said, yayin and shemen in the Beis HaMikdash cannot be matami each other. You can't transmit tumah. You can only receive, you can't transmit. So that's why the Kohanim said the shemen is tar. What happened? It touched the yayin? So what? The yayin can't transmit tumah to the shemen. So going to the Levi, we actually have a new approach to reconcile the two psukim. In the first case, where it was a sequence, the yayin transmitted to the shemen, the Kohanim said, no, nothing doing, it's tar. Because the mashke, meis bei mid bochaya, even the yayin and shemen designated for the mizbeach, cannot transmit tumah. They can receive, but they can't transmit to each other. So that's why the shemen, which was the final item on the list, which attempted to receive its tumah from the yayin, was tar. And they were correct in their response. In the second case, the yayin and shemen received their tumah independently from the source of tumah. That's why the Kohanim said their tumah. So we have another approach to explain the psuk. Says the more Elo is savar le kirav. However, if Levi, who says that Yayin v'Shemen and Beis HaMikdash were tar, if he would hold like Rav, the Omar Dochin Mamish, that it's completely tar, it can't transmit nor receive, then things won't work out. Heche Meshkach, then how could you work out the Pasuk, which describes the Shemen and Yayin as being tamei? They're meant to be completely free of tumah. Akocha k'shmol svirle, apparently, Levi holds like Shmuel, that they can't transmit, but they can receive. Okay, let's stop for a second. So getting back to the Pesukim regarding Chagai Hanavi, so we have the first pasuk where the Kohanim responded that it's tar. And the second pasuk, they responded that it's tamei. So we have four approaches. According to Rav, both psukim are describing the reveal of Kodesh. So the last item on the list, which is the shemen, was meant to be the fourth level tumah reveal of Kodesh. And indeed, they were mistaken in that first account when they responded that it is tar. The second time around, they responded, it's Tameh. Why that discrepancy? The Gemara explained, because in the first time, the source of Tumah was a Sheres, and they didn't know that a Sheres can stretch up until Revi'i B'Kodesh. Second time involved the Tumas Mace. And they were aware and familiar with the fact that a Mace can make a Revi'i L'Tumah. Shmuel maintains, it was no mistake whatsoever. The first Pasuk describes Chamishi L'Tumah, because there were five steps there. So the final item on the list, which is Shema, was merely Chamishi, which is Tar. So they were correct in their response. And the second Pasuk, they were also correct, because they said it's Tameh, with regards to a Revi'i B'Kodesh. Ravina says, then the first Pasuk was Revi'i, and they were unaware of the fact that Revi'i is Tameh, and they were mistaken. Whereas in the second Pasuk, it was merely a Shlishi, one step higher, and that they indeed knew, that is Tameh. And finally, we just had Levi's approach, which is, in the first Pasuk, it was a Revi'i that we were dealing with, but the Shemen, the final item on the list, couldn't become Tameh from the Yain, because the Shemen and Yain in the Beis HaMikdash can't transmit Tumah. So the Yain couldn't transmit Tumah to the Shemen. So correct in the fact that they responded that it's Torah. Whereas in the second Pasuk, where the Yain and Shemen independently touched the source of Tumah, they were Nogi Barishan. That's why the Kanan responded correctly, that they are Tameh. Continues the Gemara with one more aspect regarding this discussion. Uli Shmuel, let's analyze Shmuel, who says that the liquids in the Beis HaMikdash were free of Tumah, but only with respect to transmitting to others. But certainly they themselves can become Tameh. Let's analyze Shmuel's shit. Because Shmuel told us earlier that regarding the discussion of Chagai Hanavi with the Kohanim, they weren't off. They were actually correct in their response when pertaining to that first Shiloh. They responded as Tor, because Shmuel says it was a Chamishi L'Tumah. Chamishi is Tor. So what does that indicate? That if it would be a Revi, if you wouldn't have the five steps there. Suppose the Shemen was the last item, the fourth item on the list. Yain being the third, Shemen being the fourth and final. And of course, they would have responded correctly that it's Tameh. So apparently, according to Shmuel, Yain and Shemen can be metame each other, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Uli Shmuel. So according to Shmuel, we must say like this, Hanicha is Savar l'Karav. It works out if you're like Rav. The Tani Mashke Beis Min Bachay. That which Mashkin were free of Tumah, only the Mashke Beis Mit Bachay. And the Beis Mit Bachayim, the Dam, the Mayim. Aval Mashke Beis Mid Bachay Achrini. However, the other liquids used for the beans, Beyach, the Shemen, the Yain, Nami Metamu, certainly, they have Tumah. So that explains things. That's why, in the case of the Yain, the Shemen, in the Beis HaMikdash, the only reason why the Shemen was tar because it was a Chamishi, but if it would have been a Revi, or Shlishi, or Sheni, certainly, they would be Metami each other. Revi, the Le'ovet Chamishi. Yeah, the Revi can't make a Chamishi because it's too far gone. Ha Shlishi, Ovet Revi, but a Shlishi can make a Revi. Although we're dealing with Yain and Shemen in Beis HaMikdash, there's no reason that they can't be metam each other, because this freedom of Tumah, this halacha that the Mashkin Beis HaMikdash is Tar, only applies to a very specific Mashkin, the Dam, the Mayim, the Beis HaMikdash, but not to ordinary Yain and Shemen. So apparently Shmuel will hold like Rav, that the Tahara in the Beis HaMikdash doesn't apply to Yain and Shemen. Eli is Savar Kalevi, but if you would hold like Levi, the Tani who learned Mashke based Mid Bachaya, the Chacham suspended Tumah from all those liquids that are intended for the Mizbeach, including Yain Meshemen, then it won't work out. My Irya Revi Lovet Chamishi. So why does Shmuel say, well, you know, the Kohanim will correct in their response because, yeah, the Shemen, which is the fifth on the list, can become Tumah. Why is it only because the Revi can't make a Chamishi? I feel a Shein Shlishi Nami Le'avdi. They can't even make a Shein Shlishi. Because the Yain, Shemen, etc., used for the Mizbech, can't transmit Tumah whatsoever. Al-Kocha Karav Sfirli. It's pretty clear that Rav, that Shmuel, regarding this question, holds like Rav. He holds that the Tahara only applied to the Mashke based Mit Bachayim, based on Mit Bachayim, the Mayim and the Dam, but not to the Yain, Shemen. who have the ability to transmit Tumah. And the only reason why it was Tur in the case of Chagai was because it was already Chamishi, too far. But had it been a Revi, of course it would be Tumi, even though the Yain is being Matami the Shemen. That's okay. Yain and Shemen can be Matami each other, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, briefly, so regarding this suspension of Tumah with respect to liquids in Beis HaMikdash, we have three approaches. We have Rav, that it applied to the Mashke Beis Mitbachaya, Beis HaMitbachaya, where they rinsed and cut apart the carbonus, so the water, the dam found there, was completely tar, and indeed Rav says completely tar. It doesn't transmit, nor can it receive. Now the Gemara concluded that apparently Shmuel will hold in one respect like Rav, that this tahara only applies to the dam and the mayim, and not to the yayim and shemen. Now it so happens that Shmuel holds this suspension of tumah only applied to lachir. It can't transmit tumah to others, but the mashkin themselves can be mekabel tumah. And finally we have Levi Shita, who says that the chachamim suspended tumah in the Beis HaMikdash with respect to all liquids which were designated for the mizbeach, even yayim and shemen. The Gemara concluded, apparently Levi holds, that with regards to the extent of that suspension, he holds like Shmuel, that they can't transmit to others, but they themselves can be mekabel tumah. That explains the two psukim, the two conversations between Chagai and the Kehanim. Whereas in the first case, they responded that it's tur, that was because the yayin can't be metame the shemen, it can't transmit tumah to the shemen. As opposed to the second time around, in the second conversation, they said the Yayin v'Shemen Atami because we're speaking that the Yayin v'Shemen received Tumah directly from the source. And indeed, although they can't transmit to others, but they can receive Tumah. And that's why they were both Tumah. Continues the Gemara. So we have Rav, who says that the Chacham suspended Tumah with regards to the Mashke Beis Mitbachaya, the Dam, the Mayim in the Beis HaMitbachayim, whereas Levi says all the liquids designated for the Mizbeach, for the Karbanis, were considered Tahar. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Rav, Tanya Kavasei the Levi, we have a Braisa in support of either Shita. Tanya Kavasei the Levi, we have a Raya from a Braisa to Levi. The Braisa says, Hadam, blood of the Karbanis, Vahayayin, which was meant for the Nisach Hayayin and the Mizbeach, Vahashemen, meant for the Menaches, Vahamayim, which is meant to be part of the Mizbeach, Mashke Beis Mitbachai, all these examples of Mizbeach liquids, Shenitmu Bifnim, if they became Tami in the Azara, Voitzim Lechutz, and then he takes them outside, and now they become Pasul B'yotze. Nevertheless, Tahirin, they remain Tahir because at the point of Tumah, where were they located? In the Azara. So two elements are required to keep them free of Tumah. Number one, the material, the substance, has to be something designated for the Mizbeach. Number two, the location. If the Tumah occurred inside, they're free of Tumah. However, Nitmu Bachutz, if they were designated for the Mizbeach, but they were outside when they became Tumah, even though he brought them in, Tumayim, they remained Tumah because at the point of Tumah, they were located outside. Eini, is that so that if it became Tumah inside, it remains Torah even after you bring it outside? With regards to these liquids, Chachamah only said they are dochen, they are tar, if they are bim kaiman, in their proper location, in the Azara. My love, lim uti, aren't we coming to exclude this case? Even if they were tummy inside, but then he took them out. Once they're outside, they now get tumah retroactively. Loy, that's not what he's coming to say. Lim'ute is merely coming to exclude Nitma Bachutz, v'ichnisam bifnim. They became Tumah outside. Even if he brings them in afterwards, they don't lose their Tumah status. So, it's the point, the location of, at point of Tumah that determines. Says the Gemara, Fabim Kaiman Ka'amar. Didn't Rav Shmuel Levi say that they're only Tar Bim Kaiman, which indicates that as long as they're inside, they're Tar, but once they're taken out, they become Tumah? Gemara, no, Hachi Kaman. This is what he meant to say. Lay Amru Dachin. The Chacham only applied this tahara, Ela shenitmu b'mkayman. If at the point of Tumah they were in their makim nazar, then they are free of Tumah. But if they became Tumah outside, they become Tumah. But certainly, if at the point of Tumah they were inside, even if he takes them out, and now they're no longer suitable for the Mizbeach, they become Pasul, but they still retain the Tahara status, the Tumah doesn't jump on suddenly when they come out of the Azor. So this is a Raya. This Brice is a Raya to Levi, because we have a list, the beginning of the Brice, of all the different liquids designated for the Mizbeach, which are free from Tumah. Tanakama say the Rav, we have a Raya from Brice to Rav. Hadam v'amayim. Mashke beis mitbachai shenitmu. So these liquids which are associated with the beis hamitbachai, if they became tamei, bein mekelim, bein mekach, whether they were in kelim or in ground, tahirin, they remain tar. So it's very clear that this halacha applies strictly to those liquids, the dam and the mayim, beis mitbachai liquids. Continues the braisa. Rav Shimon Omer, bekelim tmein. If the liquids are found in a kli, then they're tumah, they have tumah. Bekakatarn. However, if the water is found in ground, then it's tar. Why? Explains Rashi, because Rav Shimon, you may recall Rav Shimon earlier on the Daf Zayin, he held that mashkin have tumah minat Torah. Therefore, Rav Shimon says the Chacham could not have suspended the tumah, even with respect to those mashkin the Beis Hamikdash. Only in one case could they do so. Bekark. If you have some water in ground, even just a small amount of water, Rashi says, revi saluk. That is considered to be a mikvah. So all the Rashi explains, for a person you need to have 40 sub, but for kalim to be tevil kalim, minat Torah, a revi is sufficient. Now, although the Rabbanon disqualified it, and they didn't consider it to be a mikvah, and since it's not a mikvah, it can be mekabel tumah. Right? Only a mikvah can't be mekabel tumah, but something which is not a mikvah is mekabel tumah, but there's only the Rabbanon. Minat Torah, even a revius of in-ground water, is deemed to be a mikvah, and cannot be mekabel tumah. Says Rav Shimon, so only with regards to that type of scenario, water in-ground, which minat Torah is tar. So although they're abundant, it's still mekabel tumah, but they suspended their iser, their tumah, when it came to the Beis Hamikdash. So it's just one specific case that would be free of tumah in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa, getting back to this concept of the liquids in the Beis Hamikdash being free of tumah, so Rav Papa will present a new angle, which is different than the entire sugya up until now. We work with the assumption that the Chachamim suspended the Tumah only in the context of a Tumah Durabban. Yeah, if we're speaking about a Tumah Durabban, they can go ahead and suspend it when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash. Says Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa, Afilu Lamanda Amar, Tumas Mashkin Doirais. Even according to the Shita that liquids have Tumah Minat Torah, Mashka Beis Mitbachaya, when it comes to those liquids in the Beis Hamitbachayim, in the Azor, Hilchasuk Mirla. We learned from Halacha Mishim Sinai that it was free of tumah. So even if it's a din Torah that it can have tumah, but the Halacha Mishim Sinai discounts that and tells you not to apply tumah in this scenario. Then we'll ask two kashas on this. Amalei Rav Puna Brei Rav Nosson Rav Papa. If that's the case, Ve'ela Hodam Rav Leza, how are you going to understand Rav Leza's statement? He said, Ein tumah l'mashkin kol ikar. I hold that tumah doesn't apply to liquids whatsoever. It can't receive, certainly can't transmit. There's no such a thing as tumas mashkin min haTorah. Of course, only the Rabbanon. And he proved it. Teida, I'll prove this to you. Shariyid, Yosef ben Yezer ish trader. Because Yosef ben Yezer ish trader testified, he presented the halacha, al mashke beis mitbachai dochin, that all those liquids in the beis mitbachai are free of tumah. So what does that prove? Apparently, the tumah pertaining to liquids is not minat Torah. Because otherwise, how could the Chacham suspend the tumah when it comes to liquids? That was Reb Leza's statement. Now, according to you, according to Rav Papa, v'ihil chasig mirla, if we learned it from Halacha Mishnah Sinai to discount the tumah in the Beis Hamikdash, v'gamrina mina, how can we learn from there? How can you deduce that? Well, apparently, since they removed the tumah from the Mashkin in the Beis Hamikdash, doesn't that prove that Mashkin doesn't really have tumah minat Torah? No, not necessarily. It has tumah minat Torah, but there's a special halacha from Sinai which discounted tumah in the Beis Hamikdash. That's one kasha of Papa. Another kasha. Amar Ravina Rav Ashi. V'harab Shim and the Amar Tumas Mashkin Daraisa. We know that Rav Shimon holds that Mashkin have Tumam and Atur. The Sani, as we learned in that Braisa yesterday, Rav Yosef Shimon Oimrim, Lekelim Tahirin, Loichlam Tmeim. That not only can Mashkin be Makabu Menatur, can become Tamei Menatur, but they can even transmit to others, to other Oichlam. Lekelim they can't, so if they touch a Kli, it's Tar, but to Oichlam, to foodstuffs, they can. V'hoch ha-ka'amar Rav Shimon. And that explains why Rav Shimon over here, just a minute ago, said, Bekelim Tmein, Bekaka Tahirin. If the water is found in a Kli, then even in the Beis HaMikdash, it will still associate with Tumah, it won't be free of Tumah because we're dealing with a Tumah not Torah. But Karka Torah, if it's in ground, which is only a Durabonon, so it's Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, they suspended that aspect of the Tumah. Now, V'hilchasa, if you tell me that the halacha, that the liquid in the Beis HaMikdash is free of Tumah, is min HaTorah, it's halacha Moshe Sinai, V'hilchasa hi, mali b'keil mali b'karka. What difference does it make if the water is found in a kli or in a karka? Even if it's in a kli, which case it has the concept of tumah min hatur. But the halacha Moshe Messina tells us to discount that halacha. There's no tumah when it comes to Beis HaMikdash. So why would Rav Shimon differentiate between one or the other? Kash, indeed, is an unresolved difficulty. So Rashi says, apparently Rav Papa, who presented this approach, lo yoyah zohar le-mishnayis le-braises halol, wasn't mindful of these brises. And indeed, we go back to our early approach that this entire concept with Chachamim consider the mashke in the Beis HaMikdash to be free of Tumah is based on the precept that we're dealing with a Tumah de Rabbanon. Because otherwise, they couldn't go ahead and suspend the Tumah. Okay, getting back to Rav Shimon, who differentiated between Kalim and Karka, which indicated that water in a kli is something which can be mekabel tumah, but in ground is considered like a mikveh and can't be mekabel tumah. Om Rav Papa. So another statement of Rav Papa, coming to explain Rav Shimon. Hod amres bekaka tor, and this is what we just said, that in ground is tor, leishan elamayim. It's certainly only referring to water. Water in ground is like a mikveh. Aval damloy, but blood sitting in ground, it makes no difference. In ground on a kli, it's not a mikveh, and certainly has tumah abilities. Even with regards to water, that only applies eladav revius. If it contains a sheer revius, which constitutes somewhat a din of mikveh, the chazil lahatpil be machtim etzneris, which is suitable for being toivel in it, machtim these pins, needles, etzneris, little sticks that they use for weaving. So, as Rashi explained, min haTorah, you don't need to have 40 saw of water. That's only needed for a person to be tevil, but for kelim, as long as it accommodates the kli, as long as there's enough water to cover over the kli, that's okay. So since that's suitable min hatur, although min rabbanon you can't use it, and we don't consider it a mikveh min rabbanon, but since min hatur, it is like a mikveh and can't be mekabel tumah, that's why in the Beis HaMikdash, they consider it to be completely tar. That's only when it has revius. Avaloi, have a revius, but doesn't have revius tmein, certainly in that case, even Natura doesn't have a din of a mikveh and can be mekabel tumah. Okay, so short conclusion here. We had Rav who said that the Tahara and the Beis HaMikdash applied to the Dam and the Basar of the Beis HaMikdashim. Levi maintained it applied to all the liquids designated for the Karbanis. We had a Raya from a Braisa to either Shita. We had Rav Shimon who said, well, this stipulation, this Tahara, only applies to something which has Tumah Midrabanan, such as the water in ground, and it's a revius. So in a Torah, it's a mikveh. It's only midrabban that can kabel tumah. So over there, the chacham suspended the tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. But otherwise, other types of mashkin, which associate with tumah min haTorah, the chacham cannot suspend that even in the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara. Amar Maris, we learned earlier back on Daf Tezayin regarding the discussion of tumas mashkin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer la koil tumay. Not only can the mashkin be makabel to min haTorah, but it can even transmit to anything, like koil, kelim, oichlin. So min haTorah, liquids can transmit tumah to anything. Lemeimer, the sefer of Yehuda. So do you propose that Yehuda holds tumas mashkin latame, tumas kelim deraisa? That min haTorah, mashkin have the ability to matame even kelim? Vatnan or vatani, we learned in a Mishnah braisa otherwise. Kol hakelim sheyesh lan acharayim b'toch. all these types of kelim that can be used inside out, outside in. They have a back and they have an inside. They have an interior and exterior. You could go in a karim, for instance, the mattresses, v'aksasais, pillows, v'asakin, sacks, v'amartzuf, and these leather pouches, which you can use them normally. You can fill them. You can turn them inside out and use them in that manner. So there are two distinct parts to these kelim, interior and the exterior. So what does that look? Nitma toichai. If the interior became tummy, if something touched the toich of this kli, nitma gabi. And certainly the back becomes tummy as well because the back is subordinate to the toich. However, nitma gabi, if only the back became tummy, loy nitma toichai, the tumah doesn't spread to the inside. When is this halacha said? Shenitma machas mashkin. If the kli became tummy, merely a tumah d'rabbanan. So mashkin, which was tummy, contacted this kli. And generally, minatura, mashkin can't be matame kli. With the rabbanan, they can. We're concerned, Rashi explains, on account of the body liquids of a zav and zava, which are considered avatuma, which can't be matame kli. So on account of that, the Chacham said any type of mashkin which are tummy will be matame ekli. So since we're dealing with a tumas mashkin, which is merely drabbanan, then we present that distinction. Well, if the inside becomes tummy, then everything's tummy. But if it's only the outside, then only the outside remains tummy, but not the interior. Aval nitma machas sheretz. But should this kli become tummy on account of a sheretz, which is a full-fledged tumah min hatur, then it makes no difference which part of the kli came into contact with the sheretz. Nitma toichai, nitma gabai. If the interior becomes tummy, then the back becomes tummy as well. Nitma gabai, if the exterior became tummy, nitma toichai, then the interior becomes tummy as well. There's no difference between inside and outside, because we're dealing with a tumah d'orais. Now, let's analyze. This is Rav Yehuda speaking, right? V'yisalka daitach, tumas mashkin. If you maintain that the ability of mashka to be metame, tumas mashkin letame kelim, to metame kelim is d'orisa, according to Rav Yehuda, mashkin can be metame kelim, even matur. So, why this differentiation between the kli that became tame through mashkin or through a sheres? They're both matur. Mali nitma machmas mashkin. What difference does it make if the kli became tame on account of mashkin, which is going to be tame the kli mina Torah? Mali nitma machmas sheretz. What difference does it make if the source of the tuma is a sheretz? They're both mina Torah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Apparently, chaza by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda reverted. He changed his mind, and you're right. Mashkin doesn't have the ability to tame a kli mina Torah. Ravina Amar Loyal Moyada. No. He didn't change his mind. It depends what type of mashkin. What type of tuma is contained in this mashkin? If this mashkin contains tuma minat Torah, yeah, then it can be matami even a kli. There's no room to differentiate between inside and outside, just like a sheretz. However, if the mashkin contain a weaker form of tuma, a tuma d'rabbana, then we have the difference between the inside and the outside. Habe mashkin habor machmas yadayim. This Mishnah is speaking about mashkin which doesn't contain tumah d'orais. It became tumah on account of one's hands. Chachamim were masakin that unwashed hands have a din of mashkin l'tumah. So the mashkin merely touched this type of tumah, which is the rabbanon, and then went ahead and touched the kli. So it's only a tumah d'rabbanon to begin with. That's why we differentiate between which part of the kli was touched. If it only touches the exterior, then the exterior remains tummy, but not the inside, etc. Because we're speaking about mashkin that only have a tumah d'rabban. Ha! With mashkin abar machmas sheretz. Rabbi Yehuda, who told us earlier that like koyel tummy, mashkin could even tummy kli, we're speaking about mashkin which contain tumah d'orais, they're coming from a sheretz. So in that case, it's a full-fledged tumah, and can be tummy kli minatari. Says my Yehachi, if that's the case, Adetoni, so why does the Mishnah is looking to find a difference, to present the difference between a Tumah d'Oraisa and Tumah d'Rabbanan, right? So if it's a Tumah d'Rabbanan and it touched the outside, then the only outside remains Tumah, not the inside. If it's Tumah d'Oraisa, then like a Sheretz, then even if it touched the outside, then everything becomes Tumah. Adetoni, b'medva mamur. So rather than say, when does this apply? When does this distinction between exterior and interior apply? Shinis machas mashkin, only when the kli became tummy on account of mashkin. Then we apply this formula. But if the kli becomes tamei on account of a sheres, then we don't differentiate between inside and outside, because the raisa. Why do you have to go run over to sheres to define to differentiate? Liflig v'lisnim b'dida. The Mishnah could simply split, find a distinction within mashkin, within the realm of liquids. B'meret v'mamurim. When do we say that there's a difference between where the mashka touched the kli? Toich and gabay. That's only with mashkin, habo and machmas yadayim. We're speaking about mashkin, which are tumah on account of hands. So since they only contain a tumah d'rabbanan, so in the context of tumah d'rabbanan, we apply that formula. If it touched only the acid of the kli, then the interior remains tumah. Aval with mashkin, habo and machmas sheretz. However, if the mashkin shouldn't be coming from a sheretz, in which case there, the cause of tumah is d'raisa, and the mashkin now tumah d'raisa, then nitmah toich and nitmah gabay. If the interior of the kli becomes tumah, then the back as well. Nitmah gabay. The back became tummy, nitma toich. Then the toich becomes tummy as well. If you maintain that Rav Yehuda sticks to a sheet, and he still holds that mashkin, which are tummy min ha-toira, can be metame kli min ha-toira, then we have a simple distinction in the Mishnah. Well, if the mashkin are only tummy d'rabbanan, they're coming from the ayim, so it's only tummy d'rabbanan, then if it touched the outside of the kli, then only that becomes tummy, not the inside. But if the mashkin are tamei min ha-toira, they're coming from a sheretz, then there's no differentiation inside and outside. Why can't the Mishnah simply state that as a formula rather than running over to the sheretz to find an example of a tamei min ha-toira? Ela machavarta. Apparently, the correct approach is kedishana mikara, as we learned earlier. The first answer of the Gemara, chazaber of Yehuda, indeed, of Yehuda reverted. He changed his mind, and he holds that mashkin, even if they're tamei min ha-toira, they touch the sheretz, they don't have the ability to metame a kli min ha-toira, and that's why the Mishnah, when the Mishnah was looking for an example of tuma min ha-toira to a kli, had to go find an example of a sheretz, because mashkin indeed doesn't have the ability to metame a kli min ha-toira. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a discussion, with two discussions that Chagai Hanavi had with the Kehanim. He wanted to test their familiarity with the halachas of Tumah Tahara. So in the first question he posed, it described a sheretz which touched lechem, which touched a nezid, which touched yain, which went to shemen. He wanted to know, what is the halach of that shemen? They responded, it's tar. Second time around, he asked them a very similar question regarding Tumas mates, and this time they said, it's tummy. How do we understand this discrepancy? We have four approaches. Rav maintains that both discussions revolved around a revealed tumah. The first time around they said it's tar and they were mistaken. The second time around they said it's tummy and they were correct in their response. Now what happened in between? So the Gemara says because the first time it involved a sheretz, in which case they didn't know that a sheretz can actually reach up until revealed tumah. The second time it involved tumas meis and they were aware of the fact that a meis can create and generate a revealed tumah. Shmuel maintains there was no mistake whatsoever. The first conversation involved a chamish l'tumah, which indeed is tar. The second time around, it involved a revi l'tumah, and that's why they responded correctly, that is tummy. Ravina maintains that they were mistaken. The first time around, it involved a revi, and they incorrectly responded that it's tar. However, the second time, it was a shlish l'tumah. This time they knew that it's tummy. Levi learns that there was no mistake whatsoever, because the first time it involved a revi, but it involved yain and shemen, in the Beis HaMikdash, designated from the Mizbeach, and Yayin can't transmit Tumah to the Shemen. And therefore, that Revi was not really Revi, and the Shemen was really Tar. Whereas in the second conversation, the Yayin and Shemen independently came into contact with the source of Tumah, and they can receive Tumah, even in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why the Kohanim responded they were Tumah. We learned that the Chacham suspended Tumah with respect to liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. We have two opinions. Rav says, Mashkei Beis Mitvachai Dochim. So the liquids found in the Beis HaMitvachayim for the sake of the rinsing and the cutting the karbonis. So the blood, the water there was tar. Levi maintains, Mashke Beis Midvachayim, a dalet, designated for the Mizbeach, for the karbonis, the Yayin, the Shemen, etc., which is part of the Mizbeach procedure, that was free of Tumah. Now, to what extent was it free of Tumah? We have another machlekes. Rav says, Dochin Mamish, completely free of Tumah. It can't transmit, it can't even accept Tumah. Shmuel says it cannot transmit, but they can still accept Tumah. Reb Shimon told us that in one specific case, they suspended the tumah because it only entailed the issur d'rabbanan, a tumah d'rabbanan, which was the revius mayim in ground. Otherwise, the other things could not have been tar because they involve a tumah d'oraisa. And we concluded to review the shita. Whereas in the Brisa he says that mashkin can not only become tameh, it can even be metameh. Oichlan, even kelim. We prove from another Brisa that Rav Yehuda indeed was chazabai. He changed his mind and concluded that no, mashkin cannot be metameh kelim minatera.